Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
But first, John Traynor, a convicted Dublin criminal who's believed to be was involved in the planning of the murder of crime journalist Veronica Guerin, has died in the UK. He was nicknamed the Coach by Guerin, who had used him as a source in her coverage of Dublin's organised crime. He was also associated with Martin Cahill, the convicted drug trafficker John Gilligan. I'm joined now by Paul Williams, author and crime reporter. Paul, you knew John Traynor. Tell us about him and his involvement, first of all, with Martin Cahill, the general.
Hiya, Samantha. Yeah, well, I suppose I did know John Traynor for many years, and he was a source of mine as well. But I suppose the best way to describe him is that he played a very pivotal role in the whole evolution of organised crime. His name has been popping up since the 70s. He was originally a very major fraudster, and then he became more involved in organised crime with the likes of John Gilligan, who was his best mate, and the two of them worked together in the old BNI line many years ago in the 60s into the 70s. But yes, he became his real big claim to fame was as the glorified consigliere, as they say in mafia speak, of Martin Cahill. And with Martin Cahill, he organised the O'Connor's jewellery robbery in 1983, which was then the biggest robbery in the history of Irish crime. It would be worth $3.5 million today in terms of the jewels and diamonds that were stolen from that factory. He brought the information to Cahill. He was also a central player in the Byte art robbery in 1986, which was one of the biggest art heists in the world, and still is to this day. He was a very clever, very manipulative, mendacious, and also quite a charming and charismatic character. He was a quintessential psychopathic or sociopathic fraudster. And he didn't get his hands dirty in the sense that he didn't go out, hold guns himself and actually go out and shoot people or have people. We do know Veronica shot in 1995, that he was very strongly suspected for that. He did give the Gilligan gang the information on Veronica's movements on the day of her murder. He admitted to me in a few months after that, in a conversation I had with him when I was interviewing him, that he was privy to the plans to murder Veronica, yet his get-out-of-jail card on that one was that he didn't really believe to carry it out and he didn't know the intricate details of Veronica's murder. Yet, he had a cast iron alibi on the day Veronica was murdered. He was driving in one of the sports cars out in Mondello in County Kildare, not far from where Veronica was murdered, and staged what we believe at the time was a deliberate accident so that he would be in hospital at the time when Veronica's murder was announced to the world.
He served time in prison. What was he convicted of?
He was convicted one time of possession of a firearm, which he said was a stupid prank when he was quite young in the 1970s. He grew up in Dublin, and then his family, who are quite respected people, business people, went to move to live in Kildare, and he was living in Kildare. And he pulled a gun one night in a pub, which he said was a prank. And unfortunately for him, he pointed it in the direction of an off-duty Garda, and he ended up in prison in the 1970s alongside his best friend, John Gilligan, and Martin Cahill at that particular time.
And at the time of Veronica Guerin's murder in 1996, he was seeking a High Court injunction to stop her publishing a story about his involvement in the drug trade. Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, you see, Veronica had an interesting sort of interaction with him in that he was the source, but also then she began to suspect, quite rightly, that he had been responsible for shooting her in the leg. But then she began to gather information, like it was floating around at the time, that suddenly John Gilligan had come into a lot of money. The guy had no money, but he was a multimillionaire in the sense he was pumping money into this Jesbrook. And very quickly it became clear that, you know, the trainer was involved in getting money in the drug trade. So she threatened to turn him over because she wanted him to basically spill the beans on the likes of Gilligan. Now, unfortunately, she went out to John Gilligan and Gilligan attacked her and beat her, and that's ultimately why Veronica was murdered. So at that particular time, Traynor was suing or threatening with an injunction against the Irish Sunday Independent and Veronica to prevent her writing stuff about him. But there was one really distasteful part about all of this, Samantha, and Veronica was only after literally less than 4 or 5 days after Veronica was murdered, a few days after her burial, we had this extraordinary, unedifying exhibition in the High Court, where Traynor instructed his lawyers to basically try and tear Veronica's reputation apart as part of this affidavit, or part of his injunction against the Sunday Independent, which was very distasteful, and he tried to add insult to the injury. he's been a very lucky guy. It's amazing to see at 73 years of age, Samantha, that this guy has actually died, for want of a better description, of natural causes, other than being shot in the head by an assassin. It is quite an extraordinary achievement for him, and it illustrates just how clever and cute he was all his life. He left Ireland after Veronica's murder, and he never came back. He was, by the way, he had another sentence, which he ended up finishing that sentence in the UK. He had been, in the early 90s, convicted of a major multi-million pound bonds fraud and bond theft in London, which was one of the biggest of its type at the time. He served time for that. But when he came out of prison, he came back to Ireland. Then he left Ireland after Veronica's murder. Then the British police put him back in custody again in the UK to finish that original sentence. And when he got out, he set himself up as a used car salesman in Kent, where he has been until now, where he lived with his long-term partner. She had been with him for many years from around the time of Veronica's murder. And our information is that he's died from cancer. Other people are saying he may have died of a heart attack, but he was very ill in the past number of months, and the word was that he was in a hospice in recent times. And he has died quite peacefully compared to a lot of the people he would have dealt with and been friendly with through his own career.
Okay, Paul Williams, author and crime reporter, thanks for that. We'll be back after this break.